Our next guest on Downtown played one of the most iconic roles in the history of television as the matriarch of the Walton clan on The Waltons throughout the 1970s. She's a four-time Emmy Award winner, still active and helping to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the debut of The Waltons. We're pleased to be joined by Michael Learned. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for making some time for us here. Hard to believe that you recently celebrated the 45th anniversary of the start of the Waltons. In many ways, that seems like yesterday.
I know. I know, until I look in the mirror and I go, oh yeah, 45 years, No, it is so much a part of my life, of my young life, you know. And we're all still so close that it seems like it's just ongoing, even in real life.
Though, do I understand that when the opportunity first presented itself, you were perhaps a little reluctant to give up your stage work for what you might have perceived as a character part in a television show?
I didn't want to do it, no. But I don't know why I even went to see about it. I told my agent, I really don't want to do it, even if I get it, which I never thought I would. But luckily, God knew better. or the universe, or whatever. I don't want to offend people if I use the word God. Nowadays, it can be offensive, but which is a shame. But, you know, I really didn't want to do television. I think I was too frightened, and I didn't think I was right for the part because they wanted a woman in her 40s with long red hair, and I had short blonde hair, and I had just turned 32. So I wasn't interested, and then when I got the part, I realized that I was being gifted with something very, very important.
Well, you were so young at the time, there wasn't a great age difference between you and the people who played your kids. Did you still establish some kind of a maternal relationship with them off camera? Was it more of a big sister? What was that relationship like?
I think Mary calls me her sister, Mary McDonough, who played Erin. And so I think, in a way, it was a little bit of both. I don't think I ever tried to be motherly to them because they had mothers and good mothers. So we were more friend, sister, big sister, little sister, you know, it was that kind of thing. And the youngsters, when Cammie was little, Cammie has never been young. Cammie has always been a wise soul, and so she never thought of me as her mother in any way, but we were all like a family. I don't know how to describe it, but we were very, very close, and I think that came across on screen.
Absolutely. When Earl Hamner Jr.'s writing was so very good, but were you all surprised at the success of this show and how it touched a nerve with America, this show about Depression-era rural family and here in the midst of the 70s becomes the biggest thing going?
Yeah, it was a shock. None of us expected it. None of us. I thought it was going to be a little TV credit on my resume because I had done television in Canada, but I'd never done television in this country. So we thought it was going to be a little blip and something you could put on your resume and move on. But it was so gratifying, and I look back on it now and I realize it was Earl Hamner. He was a storyteller, and he told wonderful stories about this country and based on his own experiences as a kid. And they still last today. I mean, my granddaughter watches, or did. She's a teenager now, so she's not that interested. But when she was young, she watched it and loved it.
We're talking with Michael Learned here on Downtown. You mentioned the cast has stayed close together. You did a number of reunion shows as well. And those of you still keep in touch, have not only memories of your time on the show, but the friendships have continued to grow over the last four decades or so.
That's why I feel like the show is still going on, because we are so close. You know, I mean, we text back and forth, and I had a little health issue, and I heard from all the kids, every single one, called to see how I was doing or texted me. So really feel like we've been gifted this second family, all of us, and with no baggage.
You know? The best kind of family, then.
Without all the trauma that real families have, you know.
When you come out of such a successful role as this, I'm sure there's always the concern that you might get typecast, but you flip that right on its head with a great role and a series that I loved and I think was underappreciated. A terrific show you did with Robert Reed, Nurse. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I really feel sad that show didn't go. I think we had a lot of trouble in the beginning getting writers to write for New York. They had scenes where my character would come home and soak in her hot tub. My character, who lived in an apartment in Harlem, who is a nurse, and there was one scene I remember where she's going through, she might have to have a hysterectomy, and they had her going through this terrible depression and throw away her little satin bedroom slippers with pom-poms on them. And, you know, so there was a lot of trouble in the beginning, and both Robert and I really wanted New York writers because we felt that L.A. writers weren't really connected to the New York scene. And so I think I pissed CBS off. And I didn't work for 10 years after it, but I think it was a good show. And when we got New York writers involved, I thought there was great potential.
You've also,
I'm disappointed that it was canceled.
Oh, I agree with you there. You've done a lot of work in daytime dramas as well, and we've talked to so many actors who have experience in doing those, and that's a different kind of work than doing episodic television, because you're always dealing with last-minute rewrites and script changes. But I have to think, as an actor, that really tests your mettle.
Oh, boy, does it ever. I mean, I have so much respect for those actors, and they're so good. And they're learning pages of dialogue every night. You know, they put in a full day of work, and then they go home and learn 3 pages of dialogue for the next day. They're amazing. They're amazing. They don't get the credit they deserve.
I enjoyed your run as well on Scrubs. Was it fun to get out there and show off your comedy chops?
That was fun. I had a good time doing that show, and they were wonderfully kind and welcoming. You know, I think we weren't always so great on the Waltons when the guest star would come on, because we knew each other so well. We'd be kidding around, and before a shot, we were completely relaxed. And then sometimes we'd get into the giggles or something, and the poor guest star was a nervous wreck and was trying to get a decent rehearsal before the shot. And I think we were very naughty sometimes. But they weren't like that on Scrubs. They were very professional and very welcoming, and it was a nice memory.
Driving Miss Daisy, that's a play that you've appeared in multiple productions of over the years, and you're currently preparing for a run of it at the Laguna Playhouse with the wonderful actor Lance Nichols. What draws you to that role, to have gone back to it?
Well, it's a wonderful play, and it works like gangbusters. It has everything. It's poignant, it's funny, it's about unconscious bias. It's a classic, I think. And it reminds me of my grandmother and her relationship with a man named Ambrose Lewis, who supposedly worked for her, but really was her best friend and possibly her lover. But he was he was the only person in my childhood that I absolutely relied on. Drove me to the hospital from Connecticut when I was pregnant, when I was in labor with my first child. And he was the first person through the police doors when I ran away from home. And, you know, Ambrose was just, if Ambrose said he was going to be somewhere, he was somewhere. He was there. Mm. And so whenever I do that play, he's very much with me, as is my grandmother.
When you do stage work, is there anything in film or television that can match that immediacy and that response of a live audience?
No, there isn't anything like it. And when it's working, it's magic. And when it isn't working, it's a nightmare. And you know right away when the audience starts coughing and shuffling that you've lost them. And then you try to get them back, and that makes it worse. So, but when it's working, it's, you know, there are moments where the hair has stood up on the back of my neck when the theater is so silent, and you know that you're all in this moment, this magical bubble together, and it's wonderful.
Well, we wish you well in that. Now, before we let you go, do you think there's any chance I could get you to reprise your role as Olivia for just a moment? If I said, if I were to say goodnight, Ma, do you think you could say goodnight, Rich Kimball?
I think I could manage it. Right. It'll save me a lot of money, though.
All right. Well, I'll get the checks in the mail.
I'll do it for you for free.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to give it a try here. Goodnight, Ma.
Goodnight, Rich Kimball.
My day is made. Michael, it's a real treat for us to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us, and we wish you much luck in the production of Driving Miss Daisy, good health, and everything that goes with it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for making it easy.